be in the book of Philemon. Book of Philemon. Tonight, we're going to begin a hopefully we'll wrap it up next week. It's entitled The Case of Onesimus. The Case of Onesimus. Says it's on. I don't think so. It's doing that. Then it goes to power on, and then it's like it's going on and off or something, but it's got three bars. See what it's doing?
Yeah, I see that. Well, that's probably because we bought these Amazon.
I could just use this. I don't move anyway.
Here, I'll get you. Hold on.
All right, Philemon, we'll be in the book of Philemon tonight. And I'll read the first three verses, and then we'll open in a word of prayer. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to open your word tonight and teach from it and preach from it. And I just ask you, Lord, just to help us with this message tonight. Give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thank you, brother. It might have been the batteries. But tonight we're going to look at a passage of Scripture. It'll take us a couple of weeks, but I believe the part of the measure of a church and its culture hinges in part on two things. How do they treat insiders? So how do they treat each other, church members? This one takes really no doing at all. And then how they treat outsiders. So essentially non-members. And this is where love is truly engaged. Treating insiders kindly is easy. Treating outsiders kindly is oftentimes not as easy. But Paul takes this letter to a whole different level. He's writing to a good church with a good pastor, presenting shortly the main theme of this book, which is forgiveness and restoration. After being on the receiving end, though, of mistreatment, we see where Paul begins this letter in similar fashion as he has others. He identifies himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Essentially, what Paul is saying is that he is the bondservant. We won't spend much time on the meaning of a prisoner of Christ, but when Paul says prisoner of Christ, I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 6:20, where he says, "For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So we belong to him. So Paul is saying, I don't belong to me. I belong to the Lord. I am his slave. I am his servant. He purchased me. We see where Paul also includes that Timothy is there with him. Paul, the human penman under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. However, Timothy was in some way perhaps a part of with Paul in the writing of this letter, while the letter is addressed to Philemon, Apphia, and Archippus. So Paul refers to these three as fellow laborers and fellow soldiers. We would also add that Paul wrote this letter to Philemon. Philemon was the pastor of a church in his home in Colossae. So the letter was written to the pastor of a house church. Paul says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Paul loved
Philemon. And Paul loved this little house church. And a house church is little. A house church is a small church. It is small church. House during that time were small spaces. Many of them still are. When I was in Iraq, some of them, they were just one room and they didn't have furniture. And they sat on the floor. They ate on the floor. They had a little cot on the floor. They laid on the floor. Everything was on the floor. Just about when I was over there and in the Middle Eastern, even back Middle East back during that time, it was small spaces that could accompany small families and small gatherings. So we see the heart of the Apostle Paul in that he loved this church. Now, I still think it's important, not because I pastor what many would call a small church, but I still believe that small churches are the backbone of our movement, so to speak. I'd say movement loosely. We're independent, but we are to some degree a group of people that are like-minded in doctrine and in the faith, moving in the same direction. So we do recognize to some degree a gathering and a movement, even though we are independent within that movement. But Paul loved small churches also. It wasn't the largest of churches, but nonetheless, Paul loved this church. And from his own words, he prayed for them always. It was also Paul who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, pray without ceasing. Perhaps throughout the day, this church would come to his mind and he would just say a quick prayer for them as they were on his heart continually. Paul often likened his converts to his children. I know the people that I have been able and privileged to lead to the Lord. I think of them often. I pray for them often. And Paul had a great love for those who he led to the Lord and for those pastors that he had poured his life into. And before Paul ever gets into the meat of the letter, he begins with the introductions of who is involved in the writing, who he's writing to. He deals with some pleasantries. I thank God for you. I'm praying for you always. He then praises Philemon and this church for the work that the Lord is doing in their hearts and in the church. We see in verses 5 through 7, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the saints, hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Then verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So Paul was hearing about their love. They loved God, but not only did they love God, they loved others. It reminds me of the two greatest commandments in all the Bible in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So in going back to Philemon, Paul lets them know that he's heard about them. Maybe even from Onesimus himself. Even as sideways as Onesimus was when he left Philemon and the church, he knew enough to know that Philemon was a man of God. And the church that Philemon pastored was a good church. So again, Paul had heard that they loved God and they loved others. And by the way, a church does have a testimony. Every church has a testimony. And they have a testimony even within the community. I haven't been here long enough to know what the testimony of Emmanuel Baptist Church is within the community, but I'm sure it's probably like every other church that is out there, that you would probably have some in the community happy, some in the community sad, some out there would be mad, some out there would be glad, some would recommend everybody, and some would recommend nobody. But what I'm aiming at is that this church had a testimony and a good one. And a testimony is what a church is known for. And what a church is known for will reach the ears of people. And the testimony of this church reached the ears of the Apostle Paul, and he liked what he heard. Notice this also, they had faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I say this tonight. Your Christianity will rise or it will fall as a result of your faith or lack thereof. And this church also had faith towards others. So how do you have faith towards others? We're building up to the main theme here. The main theme, the main reason for this writing was to help Philemon and this church come to minister to a man named Onesimus. So when we think of faith towards others, what is that? Well, put simply, it's having faith that people will turn to Christ for salvation. It's having faith that people will turn to Christ for sanctification. Now, we're not bypassing Christ for anything, so it's not faith in people. But it is this, having faith that people can get their life right through Christ. For example, someone comes to you with a problem, a struggle, and you come alongside them and you say, I believe you can through Christ. I have hope in you through Christ. My faith towards people will only go so far as they put their complete reliance upon Christ. I don't even trust myself apart from Christ. I don't trust anybody else apart from Christ. I don't trust my kids apart from Christ. I don't trust my wife apart from Christ. I don't trust anybody else apart from Christ. I don't trust myself. Again, I say it again. I don't trust myself apart from Christ. I've been away from the Lord. I told y'all that a bunch of times. I've been away from the Lord. I know exactly what I do. I know exactly where I go because I done been there and I done did it. I already know. We see faith towards people, not faith in people. Within us is our very own worst enemy. And Paul knew if this church was going to take on the Onesimus challenge, they were going to have to continue to have faith towards the Lord and towards all the saints. You see, some people need more love, more support, more encouragement, more faith towards them that through Christ they can get their life together than others. And in this story, Onesimus was that guy. It's essentially presenting hope. You see, not every church is created equal, and you can't force it. Some churches perhaps couldn't have addiction ministries. Some perhaps couldn't thrive in an inner city. When you have an Onesimus, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of care. It takes a lot of love. It takes a lot of attention. It takes a lot of long-suffering. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of what the Bible refers to as, or we could refer to as heart sickness. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Heart sickness. And I tell you, when you're ministering to people, you're going to face heart sickness. You'll face some heart sickness about your own self when you have hope about something or have hope that you're going to do something and you're going to be able to turn something around. Hope deferred. Deferred means essentially it's not right now. It's on down. Maybe it's on down the road, but it's not now. Hope deferred. You know, it requires more hope towards people. It requires more faith towards people that Christ can do the work. But you must have a big view of God, a view of God that compels you to know that you can bring anybody to him, and he can change them if they'll let him. This church that Paul was writing to loved people. This church also had faith towards people, but it was about to get real. Real fast. It was getting close to a time when Paul was going to present to them a test, a true test. See, it's easy to love people that haven't crossed you. It's easy to love people that haven't done you wrong. It's easy to have faith in people to get their life right and get their life together when their problems don't hurt you, don't affect you, don't cause you pain, or perhaps cause you a loss of sleep, maybe even appetite because it hits so close to home. It's hard when it's at your doorstep. It's hard when it affects you. And this good church, this church that has a testimony of loving the Lord and loving others and had a testimony of having faith towards Christ and faith towards others, is getting ready to face the true test. And I'm telling you tonight, I've seen good churches that loved the Lord, loved others, and had faith towards others fail miserably when the rubber met the road, when it was at their doorstep. But I've also seen others who just kept right along practicing what they always had. This pastor here, Philemon, in this church, is about to get their love tested, their faith tested, their forgiveness tested. Paul continues in verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So communication of thy faith, just simply sharing your faith. Acknowledging every good thing. But Paul also prayed that it would be effectual. That's an important word. Effectual means producing an effect, or the effect desired or intended, or having adequate power or force to produce the effect. Paul wanted the church here to become effectual. Now, when they communicated their faith, he wanted it to produce an effect in others. Now, when we think of words, it's often been said words are life or death. That comes from the word, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You ever had people who come through and say something and just breathe life into you? You're like, man, that just, you know, the Lord used them and they were just a blessing, you know, and they just breathe life into you, just the wind underneath your sails. And then you've also experienced the opposite, where somebody came through and you were doing just fine until you met them. You're doing just fine until you crossed them. And then it's like, man, life, death. And you know what? But ultimately, we got to make sure our own words, that we're breathing life into people with the words that we use and not death. Because we can be guilty of both. So a tongue can produce life in those around us or death in those around us. What Paul is dealing with here and encouraging this church in with here is coming right alongside what we're leading up to in the case of Onesimus. Onesimus is going to need words of life and not words of death. Onesimus is going to need to hear all the good things that the Lord was doing in the lives of those believers. Why? Because Onesimus would need to be encouraged and strengthened by their stories of faith. And Paul is wanting Philemon and this church to communicate their faith in such a way that it produces an effect in others, primarily in dealing with what Paul's getting ready to lay on them in just a few more verses. But it all begins by acknowledging every good thing that is in their life that the Lord has done for them. You know, this in some ways is a humble reminder to be humble. When you think about how good God has been to you, it helps you. When you're getting ready to deal with someone who hasn't experienced that same level of goodness because of their life choices, it helps you recognize that God has been good to you, even in how undeserving you and I are. And we're reminded that God wants to exercise this same goodness in the lives of others also. Even the Onesimuses of the world. Because who are we to think that we are any better? When we get down to verse 7, Paul speaks of the joy that he has as a result of Philemon and this church here. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. What a blessing here. What a blessing this church was to the Apostle Paul, because they done right. Paul says, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul's saying, I'm refreshed by you, but not only me, but all the saints. So what a blessing for a church to not only be a blessing to other preachers and other pastors and missionaries, but to other churches around and other believers that are around. And I believe that's just the way that it should be. But it's only when God performs a work on the inside of believers that a church is able to produce this kind of an effect on others. And we're going to end tonight on verse 8, because then next week we're getting into kind of the heart of who Onesimus was. But we see in verse 8, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee, that which is convenient." We're going to go ahead and read verse 9. "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Sometimes boldness comes easier when you're dealing with something easy. Paul's saying to Philemon in the church, "I could come to you with something convenient with much boldness." Convenient means fit, suitable, proper, adapted to use or to want. So it's easy. Convenience, essentially easy. It's no hassle. It's carefree. It's just convenient. But Paul couldn't go this route with him. And you know, convenience is all the rage even today. So many people are set out to look for what is easy instead of what is good, right, and best. Paul could have wrote nothing. Or Paul could have wrote something convenient, but he didn't. He was getting ready to ask something of this pastor and this church that he knew would be difficult for them. Something that he knew would be impossible for them without Christ. And what was that? It was forgiving and restoring a man that Philemon and that church was all too familiar with, named Onesimus. And we'll see some of this. We'll read it just tonight, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. We'll see in verse 10, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus." Onesimus, Paul's convert in prison, "whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience." See, Paul knew they were going to be able to come through on this. "Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou would also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus."